Pastor Carlby Saturday said, "We're not doing too good here. Is there any way that I could help out?" And I said, "Sure." Why me? I don't know if everybody knows me or not, but we are members of this congregation and started some 25 years ago before we were in this building. And I was lost, and the Lord brought me into light. And along the path, he said, you should get credentialed to be a minister. And of course, my immediate response to that was, why would I do that? And he said, you don't have to know that. Just do it. And I kept thinking, maybe I'm not hearing right, and it didn't go away, and so I did that. Got my credentials. I am a credentialed Assemblies of God pastor. And then the phone started ringing that I would do fill-ins. Somebody would get sick, or there would be a vacation or something, and they'd say, can you come and preach? And so that I would do that. And I thought, okay, this is why you've got me doing this, Lord. Now I see. And then one of the churches that I was filled in a time or two said, our pastor left, and we need somebody to preach one Sunday a month so we can do communion in case there's a funeral or something. Can you come? And so I said, I met with the board, and I said, yeah, I think I could do this. I'll pray about it. And the Lord said, yes, do it. And then I said, one Sunday's not enough because you forget who I am from one month to the next. So I said, I'll do two Sundays. And I said, how long is this going to be? And they said, well, it could be 6 months before we find a new pastor. That was 6 years ago. They quit looking. And I am basically pastor two Sundays a month. So that's why it doesn't seem like I come here very often, because I'm someplace else two Sundays a month. Well, it's a God assignment. It's a God assignment, and all the things that are happening there, it just blows me away as far as how that goes. We were talking about, or some of the songs this morning particularly ministered to me, because we've got a youth group in that community. There's four churches, a Lutheran church, a Catholic church, a Reformed church, and a UCC church. And we've got youth from all four churches, and there was a youth event a couple of weeks ago. Well, Leonard and some of the kids were here from this church. And as part of the event, the praise band did their praise worship for about an hour, and then the speaker spoke, and then he said, I think it's time for you to... I did an altar call, or everybody was up front, about 80-some kids. And he started the background music and just started praying over the kids, and it was about 45 minutes to an hour of just intense Holy Spirit dropping on people. And weeping. You know, the Holy Spirit will show up sometimes with weeping and sometimes with laughter, uncontrolled tears. And it was uncontrolled weeping. And boys and girls were just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing, and they'd never experienced anything like that. And there were several decisions for the Lord, and I don't even know what was happening, but the Holy Spirit was really moving. And that has probably never happened in that church in its history, in that building. But it was exciting. And so then I'm saying, I get goosebumps. Oh, Lord, this is one of the reasons why I'm here. You wanted me to be part of this too. And so I know it's a God assignment. So anyway, I look at that, and what does that say for us? What does that say for you and me, the rest of us today? What are we supposed to be doing? And so I look at the message today, and we want to read in the Bible two different passages. We want to read first in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then Ephesians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it starts out and it says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by the one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews, Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the same Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. There's only one Jesus. There's only one God. There's only Creator God, and there's only one Holy Spirit. Well, we have all kinds of denominations in this country we call the United States, and it's a great country, but there's only one God. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Holy Spirit. We're all part of the same family if we're part of the body of Christ. We need to realize that, grab onto that, hold on to that. But then we read on. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for any reason stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for any reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts to one body. And you see the key word there? God has placed all the parts. It was God's plan. God put the parts together. God made them. And then we read a little bit further. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be less or weaker or are indispensable, the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So what does this say for us? Every one of us, well, let's read one more verse. Let's read one more segment. So there should be no division in the body, but that parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. God has put all these things into the body of Christ. He has given each of you a different ability. Look at the person next to you. Just turn and look at the next person next to you for a minute. There's not another person like that in the world. That's the only one there is of that. Every single one of us are different individuals, and God has made us that way. Every one of us has a different set of circumstances, a different set of abilities, and we all are necessary for the part of God. Now, some are apostles or preachers or missionaries or whatever, but somebody's got to wash the dishes. Somebody's got to clean the floor. Somebody's got to teach Sunday school. Somebody's got to be in the sound booth. Somebody's got to be in the nursery. All of those things. Somebody's got to worship. Somebody's got to sing. What would be the sense if we were here and there wasn't anybody to sing? We've all got a part to play. And we need to realize that God made each of us for a reason, and then gave us all a set of abilities that we can use. Now, one of the devotionals that I use is called The Upper Room, and in the last month or so, when this message was on my heart, devotionals would start speaking to me on that. On September 19th, it talked about a person that got a handwritten four-page letter from one of the readers, this writer that writes devotionals. The reader was 93 years old, and he wrote and said he appreciated my article and encouraged me to continue writing. The writer says, why did this stranger take so much pain at his age to send me a handwritten letter? Scripture says that we should encourage one another. That's why. And so that encouraged them. Back in September 20th, my husband and I live several miles away from our grandchildren. Their other grandchildren real close, so we're pop-in grandparents. Once or twice a year, we get to see our grandchildren. Then we go back home. And she's feeling bad about that, and then she says, I cannot participate in my grandchildren's lives, and often like I would to. Then recently, I realized that our role is no less important, even though it is different. In many ways, the body of Christ is the same. Different roles people have to play. Then a third one said, this guy was discouraged with his job. He said, Lord, I would prefer to serve you full time. I always thought that God called only pastors and church workers and missionaries to be full-time Christians. But that day, I sensed God was telling me, you already served me full-time. I've placed you in that company with that job. That's where you're supposed to be. And so not all of us are satisfied with where we're at, or realize that we're where we're at because God placed us there in that job. And it's not being a missionary in Africa. It's right where you're at, being the person that you're supposed to be. God designed us that way, and he's got us that way. I love Brother Lawrence. I don't know if any of you have read any of Brother Lawrence's work, but he was a monk in the 1600s, and his writings are still around. So God must be in that, right? But he talks, his prayer that he's famous for is, "Lord of all the pots and pans, make me a saint by getting meals and washing up the plates." He prayed while he's washing dishes for the other monks in the monastery and was talking to God. And his thing was that he can be as close to God while he's washing dishes as he can be kneeling at the altar in the church sanctuary. He said, doesn't make any difference where I'm at. I'm talking to God, and I'm communing with him. And that he saw that and understood that. There's a paragraph in here of his writings that said, "We ought not to be weary of doing little things for the love of God, who regards not the greatness of our work, but the love with which it's done." God looks at what's in our heart, why we're doing this, not what great thing we did, but are we doing it because we love God, because we love the fact that he made us, that he designed us the way we are. So if we look at these verses and we see that God has placed us in this church, in this body of believers, and has given us the stuff that we have, what we're made of, and everything, we can say, okay, I get it. I'm part of the body of Christ, and this is it. Guess what? It doesn't end there. That's not the end of the story. The rest of the story, we get over into Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, "So Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers..." I blew the cobwebs out. "To equip the people for works of service." The reason we have the abilities that we have is not so that we can sit by the campfire and sing kumbaya, "I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I know Jesus, that's all there is." It's so that we can get work. So that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of God. So we have the abilities, we have the things that we have, in order so that we can build each other up, so that we can build the body of Christ up, so that we can all become mature. Our faith. See that? It's not a free pass. It's not, I'm saved, you may be going to hell, but I'm saved, and I know it, and I'm going and ready. It's so that we can build up the body. Because if part of the body is sick, all of the body is sick. So if every single person that God created isn't saved and isn't on the way to heaven, then part of us is sick. We're not all well. So we've got work to do. And we look at this. "So Christ himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors, teachers, all of our abilities," whatever that might be. We might be the one that cleans the stool in the bathroom. God gave us the ability to do that. "To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of fullness in Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there in every wind of teaching by the cunning craftiness of people in this their deceitful scheming." We're in a time period now where there are more books and more movies and more things, videos out that are deceitful or leading us away from Christ as there are leading them towards him. And we need to know the difference. And we need to realize these schemes. God makes the real thing. The devil makes counterfeits. Well, if I gave you a $20 bill and it looked like a $20 bill, would you know it was a counterfeit? Well, what if I gave you a pink one or something that had cartoons on it or something? You said, that's not a $20 bill. Well, God knows, makes the original. Well, guess what? The devil makes something real close, because if it was too far off, you'd say, go to devil, I know you're faking. That's a fake. So he makes something that's so close that we got to know what we're doing so that we're not deceived. Well, how do we know that? Because we are working with each other, teaching each other, building each other up so that we can be complete in our knowledge. That's part of your assignment. Not just for us, but we need to grow so that we can teach each other. Instead of speaking the truth, verse 15, instead, we speak the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament and grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Did you realize you're part of the body of Christ? Jesus is the head and we're part of the body? Oh my gosh. I don't know what part I am, but we better realize that we're a part of the body. And the whole body's depending on us. So that in this, there should be a certain amount of peace in knowing that God's put me here. Now, we got to hear from God. We got to realize that we want. Now, sometimes people say, oh, I'm going to do something special for God. Well, before you do that, make sure that it's God's idea and not your idea. Because God's the driver, we are along for the ride, and there's a lot of people that will try and do things for Jesus, for God, and it's their idea, and it falls flat on its face, because God's idea. That's why I look at this teaching, preaching assignment that I'm on, it wasn't my idea. I didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't plan on being a pastor. But when he tapped me on the shoulder, okay, I don't know where this is going. I still don't know where it's going. But what a ride. And there are things happening all the time. You know, I keep saying, okay, this is why I'm supposed to be a pastor, right, God? And then there'll be something else will happen. Tonight I'm having a prayer service, and tomorrow a funeral for a former parishioner that was 85 years old, passed away, a rich life. It's the 37th funeral that I've been involved with since I started there 6 years ago. Now, I never planned on doing 37 funerals. But God moves. And most of the people that are going to be at this funeral do not go to that church. So I'm talking to people that I've not talked to before, that God's talking to them through me, that I use every funeral as a celebration of life. This isn't a sad thing. This is a great thing. They're with Jesus already. And encouraging everybody else in their walk. Well, there's a lot of people that come to these funerals that don't go to church, have never heard the gospel. So, oh my gosh, God, what are you doing? I'm talking to people all over the United States. And I never left home. But God's using us where we are at. He's got us planted. So we should be saying, what do you got for me, God? Please let me see what I'm supposed to be doing, where I'm at. Not she's doing, or he's doing, or he's doing. What am I supposed to be doing right where I'm at now? That's what we should be looking at. That's what we should be thinking about. That's what we should be listening to the Lord for. You got me here for this for now. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm planted. What am I supposed to be doing? Don't make it up yourself. Wait for God. Make sure you're hearing what God wants us to do. If you're like me, I'm impatient, and I think, well, he must want me to do this. He wants me to do that. I got over that a long time ago. It doesn't work well. When I try and do it, I've got lots of good ideas, but if they're not God ideas, they don't work so well. And so that's what he wants us to do. And we're part of we're the body. We're part of the body. We're part of the same body. And we think about that in the physical realm. Just because Pastor and his family is sick, we're all sick. We're all hurting. We should all be hurting for them. We are all hurting with them. But we're in this thing not to sit around the campfire and sing kumbaya, but to get to work. Get to work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good and so patient with us. You have a plan. You see the big picture. You have designed us. You have put us in the puzzle. Help us, Lord, to realize that we should be going with your plan, not our plan. That we should be looking for your design, not our design. That you have given us the talents and abilities. That we should be wanting to use them for you and for your glory, not for our glory. But that we point people to you and not ourselves. And when we do that, Lord, we are satisfied. We are fulfilled. We have peace because we are walking in your path where you want us to be, even if it's a valley, even if it's a tough spot, even if it's something that we need to go through. You're with us, and you're guiding us, and we can be a light. I pray that you would bless each and every one of us today that we have heard and can hear something from you that we need to adjust, that we need to change. Maybe it's our attitude, that you help us find that dial so that we can be more part of your perfect body, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.